This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins Football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
Is in the books. Hour two coming your way right now. The Fish Tank Podcast, OJ McDuffie, Seth Levitt, your host Travis Wingfield here from the Drive Time Podcast, all of us on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Steph, the specialist in the house, DJ Preach holding it down for us, getting us pizza, getting us videos, getting us stats, getting us all the things that we need. We have quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and his press game, easy for me to say.
Yeah, you're still excited. You're still excited, bro. I get it.
I'm getting there. We'll get there.
I'm stoked.
Let's go, Tua.
I'm feeling good. Feels a lot better, you know, after a win. So, feel good.
Can you just kind of break down what happened with toward the end of the first half with you getting shoved, you hit your head. Team said it's a head injury, but now Mike just said it was a back injury. Said your back was kind of loose. What happened from your perspective?
Yeah, on the quarterback sneak, I kind of got my legs caught under someone, and then they were trying to push back, and then kind of felt like I hyperextended my back or something. And then on the next play, I kind of hit my back and kind of hurt, and then I got up, and then that's kind of like why I stumbled. My back kind of locked up on me. But for the most part, you know, I'm good past whatever concussion protocol they had, so I'm good. Yeah, it was uncomfortable going in. You know, it was, I guess you could say it was the adrenaline that was, you know, keeping me going with the throwing. But Mike called a play that he thought would work. And if we got a certain look, we wanted to take advantage of it. And So they looked like they ran quarters coverage, and they played really deep. So I try to hold the boundary or the field safety to Tyreek's side, try to hold him, and then I came back to Waddle, you know, trusting that Waddle would beat his guy, which he did.
So it was kind of a weird game, and you guys not getting a lot of plays, a lot of possessions, but when you were out there, you were able to move the ball. Just from your perspective, I mean, what was it like kind of sitting on the sidelines for so long, just kind of waiting to get the ball, and then, you know, just having so few opportunities, and even with some guys coming in and out?
Yeah, I would say that was the toughest part of the game. You know, we never knew when our next op would be. And then when we did get an opportunity, you know, we had penalties on those. And then we'd go three and out in some instances. So against a good team like this, you can't do that. But, you know, I think we rallied. And you really look at it, the defense came through. And it kind of tells a picture story of what our team is capable of. It's not just our offense being able to help win a game, but it's the defense as well, and we've seen that today with their performance.
Buffalo's had your number of late, and now you guys are 3-0. You beat them. Where are you at as far as this season, and have expectations changed or raised at all?
No, expectations haven't been raised, haven't changed. You know, this is for us. This is what we believed. We believed in each other. We believed in ourselves. It might be new to a lot of the people that are watching, but you know, for us, we don't do anything more than what we're asked out there on the field, as well as practice, and that's what we do. We just trust each other, go out and play football.
You're now 3-0, the last undefeated team in the AFC. How do you manage the celebration of this game, but then preparing for a short week, getting ready for Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, you enjoy it. You enjoy it now, but it's a quick turnaround. So you got to move on quick, you know, and get ready for Cincinnati. For me, I'm just worried about getting my back right.
Tua, you guys obviously had great resolve at the end there after the safety. Can you talk about maybe your role now as a captain too? Were you stepping up and talking to people about how to stay maintained in your intensity at the end of that game?
Well, it's kind of hard to get the guys riled up after they just came off. So, you know, I think we can do better offensively in a situation like that, backed up, trying to help end the game with the ball in our hands. But, you know, the defense went out there. They did their thing. I mean, it really, hats off to them. They played an outstanding game. Tough, and that's a really good offense, explosive offense. Yeah. Right now it's tight. I mean, it was sore when it did happen. But yeah, I mean, any competitor that would have never wanted to come out would have did the same thing. So I was just trying my hardest to get back up and you know, get the next play and run it.
So to clarify, did you hit the back of your head when you fell down on that play?
Yeah, I did. But I think I really hit my back first, because that's what I felt first. So,
can you talk about the O-line? They kept the pocket relatively clean for you today.
Yeah, they did a great job. I think they did a great job within the run game as well. And then within the play pass, you know, I think they did a good job operating that way. You know, there's still some miscues that we had from, you know, me communicating to those guys. But for the most part, it was clean. Man, just let the defense do their thing. You know, we're always hoping for the best. We're always hoping for a turnover. Our defense gives us a turnover, but I mean, you think of the drives that Buffalo had. I mean, they had some long drives. I don't know how many plays, but they took a lot of time off of the clock. So the stamina, and then kind of going through it, running around in the heat. You know, a lot of guys are cramping up, but they stuck with it, and, you know, they helped us pull off this win.
Tua, did you notice the Bills doing anything particular to make up for the loss of their starters in the secondary?
Yeah, there were some things. There were some coverages that we didn't see. that Micah Hyde, you know, would be kind of orchestrated in. But they ran whatever, you know, the guys in the back end felt most comfortable, I would say. They tried to disguise some coverages, but, you know, for the couple rookies that were out there, I mean, they did a good job playing today on the defense. And then you obviously got someone like Von Miller, you know, on their D-line, I mean, making it tough for us to run the ball and then pass. You know, I think our O-line did a great job kind of containing him and keeping him away from the quarterback.
Are you concerned about the back stiffening up, like, overnight or anything? Or do you think it'll be pretty manageable?
Well, we'll have to see. I don't want to say that, you know, I'm a genie and I'm going to feel good tomorrow. We'll see. You know, so we'll go get some tests and then we'll come back tomorrow.
So there you have quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. We're going to come back on the other side here and react to his comments there after the Dolphins' victory over the Buffalo Bills. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. You've got to get to Gunther Kia in Fort Lauderdale on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Just visit clubpublix.com. Terms and conditions apply. You know our guy OJ McDuffie's going to Publix happy this week.
All
the Dolphins
every
gear,
day.
Aqua and orange. And you know our guy Seth Levitt right here has us covered, the press conference consigliere. Tua just finished up there, Seth. I loved it. What were your thoughts, my man?
You loved it?
Yeah, that's all I'm giving you.
What's not the...
I appreciate it. Well, look, he confirmed he hyperextended his back, and he says that the reason his legs were wobbly, the reason he had to go out there is was regarding his back. Yes, he did hit his head, but what he felt first was his back, and that's what happened there. He said he passed all the concussion protocol. So I'm going to take Tua's word for it there. I love that he confirmed Juice's read on that deep play to Waddle, that he said, hey, I had to hold off, you know, Tyreek's guy, and then I knew that Waddle would beat his man. So I thought that was great. Great eyes by Juice on that play. I love that he said that this game tells the story of what our team is capable of.
Yeah. Very good.
You know, that I thought spoke volumes. Expectations haven't changed. This might be new to all of you guys outside, but inside, this is what we've expected of ourselves. And he does, though, as an offensive leader, say, hey, we need to do more to help our defense. Yeah. You know, those guys had those long drives, and we got to go out there and not go three and out. We've got to put more pressure on their defense and give our defense more time to rest. You mentioned this, Juice. His back is still tight. We'll see what happens, but it's a short turnaround.
Yeah.
They got to keep that thing loose here because, I want to see Tua – nothing against Teddy, but I want to see Tua line up against the Cincinnati Bengals. His back is still tight. Here's something he brought up that we haven't mentioned at all, and I thought it was great, and there's a reason we haven't mentioned it. I almost forgot Von Miller was playing in this game.
Same here. I was thinking.
So he said the offensive line did a great job, and then the scheme did a great job of making sure that Von wasn't a factor. Go back and look at the stats. Good luck finding him. He had zero tackles and one pass defense.
There we go.
Terron Armstead,
that guy's had a Hall of Fame career thus far, right?
Yeah.
And so, and you know, thank you, Tua, for pointing that out, because we've completely missed that up here. Honestly, because we just didn't see him do anything all game and almost forgot that he was
pretty
out
amazing.
There.
Pretty amazing.
And most importantly, if you were wondering this, all of South Florida now knows Tua Tagovailoa is not a genie.
when you heard him say that, did you say that's my closer right there? Did you know? Going
he
circle.
Is not a genie.
I don't know, Juice. That was Seth mentioned it there. He always covers the entire thing pretty well there. But
yeah.
the comment about, you know, Tua seeing what he had in coverage there, you and I were like, are you sure that was deep halves on that shot down the field
to
Waddle?
Right. I'm not gonna doubt him.
No, not at all. That's
no, if he thought it was quarters and it was quarters.
Whatever he saw,
I wait for the all 22 and maybe, you know, but whatever he did a great job, like we talked about, and he mentioned it, of holding that backside safety and then throwing that dart. He threw that dart. You know, the one dart we don't even talk about is the first dart of the game to Ingold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pass right there was incredible.
Beautiful pass.
But that was a dart right there. He threw to Waddle, and it couldn't have been a bigger dart, the perfect time in the game to give us those opportunities, man. So I always we talk about this. We joke about this a lot, Big Seth. His recollection of play-by-play, what he did, who's in, who's out, is incredible to me. You know what I mean? We call it like Tiger Woods when he's talking about, on the 13th hole, I hit driver, 7-iron, pitching wedge, and I was on the right side of the hole. So that's what Tua does.
The Tiger's not getting hit in the head.
No. It's pretty impressive, man, what he does and how he remembers, you know, the play, the situation, and the result. More than anything, man, and it's fun to watch, man. Especially when my ass sees everything, the same thing he saw. You know, I mean, that's fun for me.
Right, and listen, you know, for anybody who's calling BS on the back and not the head and all those things, and he was concussed. Seems like he had a pretty good recollection of what he just saw.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah,
that's a telltale right there, right? And then you know you come out of there concussed. Honestly, man, look, guys have been concussed. You got to line them up. You got to tell them what they're doing most of the time. Quarterbacks, if they get a concussion, you who's going to help them other than themselves? So it did look like he was about his senses and everything. And sometimes, who knows? You know, there. I know the concussion protocol is very, very serious if that were the case. But I also know that there are certain degrees of it that, you know, if you get woozy for a second, it's not as bad as if you're, you know, completely out and they try to put you back in there. It's a back situation here. The biggest problem for Tua is getting that back right for a short week on Thursday, and that's going to be critical for us.
That's why getting this win was so important. It almost feels like we're not going to say this because I do expect to win every game at this point. I mean, when you go and beat Buffalo like that, you expect
every game, man.
Well, not every game, every time.
Every game you go into, you expect to beat that particular team.
Coach McDaniel said, if you start setting goals 15 weeks down the line, what happens?
I'm setting goals for Thursday night in Cincinnati.
Okay.
I expect to beat the Bengals because they're up next. After that, I'll expect to beat the next team after that.
That's an abstract goal.
And we're a better team.
That's an abstract goal. There you go. You know, you guys mentioned the deep shot to Jalen Waddle. I thought something really stood out in that comment there just about how this team has been constructed offensively around this quarterback. And by the way, watching him walk off and pump up the crowd and seeing the energy that came back into the stadium when he came back out for the second half, like, this is our quarterback, man. This team, the city is rallying around that guy. They're loving what he's doing right now, and how can you not with the way he's playing right now? But I thought the receiver position with, you know, he mentioned Tyreek held that field side safety on that play. I mentioned Stephon Diggs 7 for 74. It's a good game, but it's not what he's used to doing. And the Bills, it just seemed like maybe they didn't quite have that second option. Although he did, you know, distribute the ball to a bunch of guys for a bunch of yards, but no one had the monster game. That's why I love this idea of having Waddle and Hill together, because I just don't think you can possibly hold them down, both of them, for an entire game. I think you saw it on that big play there.
I agree, and I want to bring something up that I wanted to say earlier regarding Waddle. What was the talk last year? You know, great pick, traded up to get him. You know, who was the best receiver in the draft, so on and so forth. Set an all-time NFL record. Did something nobody in the history of this league has done as a rookie is in terms of the amount of catches, but had under 10 yards of reception, right? That was the big thing. I heard him on some podcasts in the offseason that, you know, certainly get drunk off yak, right? Yeah. We've heard Tyreek talk about that, and he wants to average more yards per reception. Well, he averaged 25.5 today, guys. 25.5. The guy has 342 yards. He's averaging 114 yards per game, and he's averaging 18 yards per catch. I think that's getting it done. I mean, he's right, we've only played three games.
Right.
But he's doubled his yards per catch so far compared to what he did last
year. Yeah, another thing we talked about before, too, is like you might not understand or see Tyreek's influence or the impact he's going to have on the game. But Tua, what he just talked about in that 45-yarder was he looked at Tyreek's area because he knew they'd be paying a lot of attention to him and were able to come back to Waddle. And Waddle's numbers are going to be great because of the impact that Tyreek has on the other side of the football.
And there might be a chance that he leads the league in receiving now.
Got to be. I mean, it's got to be really close. Yeah, I mean, he was up there for the most part anyways,
right? He was at 240.
Right? Steph was there too, right?
So who was, I think it was Tyreek, Stephon Diggs,
yeah,
and then
Stephon
Waddle.
Didn't have a big day today.
Stephon had 74, so it's going to be really close between those two. Yeah. I think it might go to Waddle, though, but, I mean, you know, you guys are talking about
it's early still, no matter what. Hey, we still got some guys at the top of the leader list, you know what I mean, some horses that are in this race for that. And bottom line is, how often do you have two receivers that can battle that? Of course, we had a great week last week. But at the same time, though, we are a problem every single week when you've got to bring out a way to stop Tyreek and Waddle Tyreek Hill and Waddle.
First name basis.
Know, every single weekend, week out, and then you still got to find a way to stop the run game. So, yeah, we got some good ones. And, you know, the fun part about all of it is that these guys enjoy seeing each other do well. And that's important in this game because a lot of times wide receivers, the divas that we are, when we don't see our shine, we just want to, you know, when we wonder why. And yeah, that's a problem.
For sure.
Big Seth just broke my heart. He's got him by 2 yards.
So Diggs has Waddle by 2 yards. You know, he's only averaging 12.7 per reception, not 18.
Woo.
But, so now that the shuffle, I don't know what the rest of the league did, but just looking at it here, you've got Diggs with 344 yards, Waddle with 342, Hill with 317. You've got two receivers averaging 100 yards a game.
Yeah.
Just understand that.
That's the idea. That's how this offense was built. And you guys also heard Tua mention the love for the offensive line. By the way, how often did I hear all week that pass rush, that Bills pass rush? And it was good. Don't get me wrong. They moved Tua off the spot. He made some plays. Shoot, the one that he got injured on, he steps off the spot with a free rusher in his face and gets wide and makes a play and extends the drive for a first down there. But I also wanted to mention, you know, you talk about Von Miller. That was the matchup of the week.
Not much.
Was Von Miller on Teron Armstead? There you go. Teron's doing the job out there at the left tackle position.
He has been
phenomenal through three games.
Without practicing all week,
Without even practicing. Just shows up and beats you on Sunday. That's what he does. Yeah. And then, did you see the two blocks on the touchdown runs? The first one, Connor Williams moved a guy, I don't know, 14 or 15 gaps, if that's how many there are there on the field. It was pretty impressive.
What gap is that? Is that like
that's
the
cheerleader gap?
That's the L, yeah, the L gap.
Move to the cheerleader gap?
Yeah, off the sideline.
I mean, the cheerleaders
are by the tunnel. I'm pointing to it right now. But then the Robert Hunt one as well, I tweeted about it that he got blocked out to Jupiter, not the planet, the city of Jupiter in Florida, but it could have been the planet by how far he moved that guy. So, to me, that was a big difference in the game. The Bills kind of got stopped in the red zone. The Dolphins punched a couple in there for touchdowns, and this offensive line and their running game prowess, I think, was a big part of that.
Yeah, and it's got to continue. We didn't have a lot of yards on the ground. I mean, were we at, what, 41 or so?
I don't know, but they're 3-0.
Yeah. Hey, well, okay, Big Seth. I know what our record is, dog.
Does anything else matter at this point? Yeah. It's all rearview mirror.
We've got to figure out a way to run the rock at some point, bro.
Or win.
Yeah, and we got to stop people from getting 600 yards on it.
600 yards. Yeah, I mean, the team statistics at the end of the day are not going to be pretty tomorrow, but you don't care, Seth.
Listen, how do they rank these teams? Is it by yards or by wins and losses? That's all I want to know.
Last I checked, I think it was wins.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's the offensive line. I thought the defense, I mean, again, the numbers, I just don't think the numbers really did the performance justice today. That's kind of my original takeaway. We'll see if the all-22 agrees when I get a look at that. But I just thought the pass
rush. What numbers are you referring to, Travis? I mean,
the numbers for the Bills today were kind of astronomical. They had 400 and
because they moved the ball up and down the field.
Yards.
But they had to do it going back to last year, Juice. 19 play drives, 20 play drives. Yeah. I mean,
90 plays
to
39
plays.
90 plays to 30. They almost tripped.
That was their game plan.
Well, they should have game planned differently because they got an L.
Their game plan came up short in the red zone. That was the difference. But they blew the ball up and down the field all they want, and that should be reason to be concerned. Hey, look, come on, Big Seth. You're not going to – nobody here is a bigger Dolph fan than me. I don't care if Travis, you, Steph,
Playing the flag.
Priest, nobody's a bigger fan than me, you know. So I'm all hyped for the win. There are still things that we need to work on when we're considering being, up against the best, and that's one of those things.
Never been a perfect game,
we gave up
right,
a lot today. We gave up a lot today.
So, yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy this win more than anybody.
With the 497 yards, maybe not that's you, what they finished with. But
probably more than me.
I don't think this has to be a record. I'm just going to guess that it is.
Oh, don't do that.
90 plays for the Bills, 39 for the Dolphins.
Biggest disparity.
Yeah,
that's
I've never seen anything
somebody
close
call Elias
to that.
Sports Bureau.
It's got to be. It absolutely has to be.
Without big explosive plays to score on.
I can tell you one thing, and I don't know, but if you're going to say, if we're going to guess records here, if we're just going to be those guys that just make up stuff right now, I would say that, no, but to have that big of a disparity in plays and lose.
Yeah. It's disheartening.
It probably hasn't happened often.
It's not a fun plane ride.
Somebody call Brett Breckeisen.
Not a fun plane ride home.
He would certainly know. Speaking of the outcome, because of a victory, we're going to give out our 7th, 8th, and 9th game balls
baby.
Of the season. That's coming up next on the Dolphins post game, which is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the 5th Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. And arguably the greatest part about getting these victories is the fact that we get to give out a few game balls. Let's go ahead and fire up that sound for Game Balls Week 3 Edition.
It's time for Travis, Seth, and OJ McDuffie to hand out their game balls on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
OJ, Seth, and Travis giving out our game balls here on the post-game show. Let's go ahead and throw it over to my man, our press conference consigliere himself, Seth Levin.
Well, listen, I'm going to take the easy way out. 2 weeks in a row, I'm just going to wait till you decide who the player of the game is, and that's who I'm giving my game ball to.
Smart move.
I'm giving my game ball to the snowman. But here's the reason why. He today set career highs in tackles with 10, career highs with sacks with 1.5, had his first forced fumble of his career. We know that led to a three-play drive and a touchdown. But look at that stat line. And by the way, Juice, these aren't just JOP tackles.
Right.
9 of those tackles were solo tackles.
Right.
Now, granted, when they have 90 plays, you're probably going to get a few tackles in there. 10 tackles, 1.5 sacks for 7.5 yards. We know the forced fumble. He had the quarterback hit, 2 passes defense. Snowman was dealing out there. And as you said, he also was lining everybody up. He's quarterback of the defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's young, he's smart, he's energetic, he's dancing after a fair catch. Juice, did you ever dance after a fair catch?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then,
I was scared
maybe it's not as impressive. So forget, I'm not giving him a game ball for the dance because Juice invented that. But the bottom line is, career highs, he was stellar out there. And so not only does he go home with the player of the game, he also goes home with a game ball. And I know he's been listening to the show to find out who's gonna win all these things. So big day for you. Kudos to you, Javon Holland.
Javon Holland gets another one. I'm sure he'll have plenty more coming on the pipeline, especially if he makes more plays like the one that he almost had there at the end of the game to put that thing away. Could have been an even bigger day for the snowman, but he was fantastic again. Juice, what you got, man?
Man, I've got the big-time bet out of South Carolina. Three tackles, all solos, two sacks, forced fumble, fumble recovery. Big-time stuff from, you know, as, you know, Seth's guy, Javon Holland, forced a fumble. My man, Melvin Ingram, with a big-time deal over there as a defensive end, making plays. I even saw him in coverage a little bit, making plays down the field a little bit. You know, big-time game for him. And we love the fact that we got some guys that can get after quarterbacks when it comes to him and Agba and Phillips. What a great pickup and what a great day he had against a team that's, you know, it's tough to deal with. But I think my man Melvin Ingram had a hell of a day out there. And sometimes those stats, you don't see them in the stat sheet, but those are numbers that you recognize right there. Those are big-time numbers right there for a guy that's coming off the edge.
He does a lot. There was one point where Seth was like, he's in coverage over by the slot right. receiver over there, and then you get some help on the top with Javon Holland. But that just shows you the type of versatility that he has. And I think back to the offseason, people were like, do we really need another edge? I'm like, yeah. Look, if it's Melvin Ingram, yeah.
As you can get.
I'll take him. Why Absolutely. Not? Look at the game he had
Especially
today.
Especially when it's this hot. And
great point. It's good to have as many bullets as you can have in the chamber there. I have a tough choice to make here, which usually I would just give them to both the guys because it's kind of how I roll. But since you guys are so up on my backside about this, I'll go ahead and stick with just the quarterback. I'm taking Tua Tagovailoa. The resolve that he showed, I think, is a microcosm of the resolve this team has had through the first 3 weeks of the season. Three tough games, three tough opponents, and they have three victories to show for. And we saw the energy in the building when Tua was doing his thing. You know, you mentioned the dart to Ingold to start the game. How about that touchdown pass to my boy River Craycraft from Washington State University?
You knew he had to get that in, Big Seth.
That was a great, great throw between a trio of Bills defenders, and what a great catch by that fantastic receiver from a fantastic educational institution in Washington State
University. He broke the seal, by the way. He gets his first touchdown catch of his career last week, and now, you know, I mean, he might get one every game.
What did Chris Carter always say? Was it Chris Carter?
All I do is catch
touchdowns.
Yeah, he didn't hear, though,
so
don't get me started on that.
So Tua Tagovailoa gets my game ball after a 13-for-18 performance. And that might sound like, well, he didn't do a whole lot, Travis. Well, he did enough with what he had. 186 yards, a touchdown. We mentioned the one sack. His passer rating, again, 123.8. Oh, that's going to have him up
about.
There
yep.
on the team, the
yep.
around the league lead. And 10.3 yards per pass, guys. Yep. He came in, I think he was fourth in the NFL at like 8.5 per pass. He has 10.3 today. So they didn't have many opportunities. When they had him, they took advantage of him. Just seven possessions. The dart to Wall. Dr. Craycraft, Juice, that's my guy.
And also doing big things when it matters. You know what I mean?
The sure.
end of the game is all coming up big as a quarterback when it matters is what Tua did. You know, did what he would need to do to get the win, and that's important. Guys always want to talk about first half stats. There's a lot of good first half stats for a lot of guys. But when it's coming down to the end of the game, you got to make plays and make throws. That's what we saw from Tua. So I'm with you on that, big dog.
Big time players, big time moments, big time games.
Big time players and big time games make big time plays.
What's new? I missed it.
Big time players and big time games make big time plays.
Big time players make big time plays
in big time games. Same thing.
I got you, fellas.
I was close enough. So we have a few minutes left, and when I say a few, we actually have quite a bit on this segment here. And I'm just thinking about what we're going to talk about.
Oh, you know what I'm smelling here?
Well, you know,
additional game
Juice kind of got it mentioned there because I just thought about the number of pass rushers that had moments where they won reps and put pressure on Allen. I'm curious to see the pressure rate on when the numbers come out tomorrow. Because
I'm not giving out game balls for pressure rate.
For pressure rate. Well,
I'm going to tell you, yeah, that's a good point there, Travis, because there's a lot of times. There are a lot of quarterbacks. Probably 99% of the other quarterbacks in this league would go down on some of the pressure we had on Josh Allen today. You know what I mean? And he was elusive. He's big. He's strong. We had so many opportunities to get at him in the pocket, and he did what he does. You know, and the containment was there. The tackling wasn't there. And that's one thing that we're going to have to deal with again when we head to Buffalo later in the season. But how many quarterbacks do you have to deal with that just don't fold right there? He's
right.
not a guy that's going to fold. And we know that going in, we've got to correct that moving forward because he's a tough guy. And when you extend plays, you can't expect any DB. I don't care who the best DBs in the league are to contain and hold coverage that long. When you let a quarterback like that out of pocket, you still got to worry about his run threat, which was worrisome as well. And then, you know, he throws the ball at so many different angles. So the pressures were there. Now we got to find a way next time to get him to the ground. We won't see another quarterback like that this year until we see him again.
Until December when the Dolphins do face the Bills in Buffalo. Could be a Saturday night flex game because that's an option to move
it will be
to Saturday night primetime. I can't
imagine
you
right it
now
it's going to be flex.
It's going to be nice and chilly up there in Buffalo. But it kind of goes back to the
it's
point.
It's going to make it colder when that's, with yeah, a little bit of sun.
It's just not going to be a fun down. Day. We go back into we pull the Abe Simpson, don't we? We go back in the other direction. It's a second Abe Simpson reference on this
particular
show.
I don't know. I think
show.
It's going to probably be about 74 degrees in the studio for us.
Yeah. Outstanding.
That's true.
I'm not even going to wear long sleeves.
So, you know, I mean, I don't have a good transition off of that, but I'll go back to the point about the pass
rushers.
Give
out another game ball, Travis.
Well, I'm going to do it because – no, I'm just kidding. But he had 67 dropbacks in this game. That's what I kind of think about. That's why I wrote down Ogba, Van Ginkle, Phillips, and Ingram because, you know, there's been lots of chatter about Miami's pressure rate the first two games. It's going to go way up because they were just – like Juice mentioned, they were on him all game long. I kept watching Ogba just win these one-on-one pass rush reps where he's, you know, he's pinning and pulling the guy and throwing him to the ground, and Van Ginkle's knife in there for his pressures, and Jalen Phillips had some. Speaking about Javon Holland's big play, boy, if Phillips pulls that one down, the one that he batted up to himself and dang near picked, that would have been a fun moment in the game. And then you mentioned Melvin Ingram, too. I think this Dolphins defense kind of, maybe after this game, could be feeling themselves a little bit after the way they played, especially at that position.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, think about two big-time quarterbacks had big numbers on them, but they found a way to get wins against them. But they are feeling good, man. Look, like we talked about, they're going to get at some of these other guys that are going to be able to get them to the ground. You know, we had, I think, a couple maybe intercepts we might have dropped. I'm not counting on Jalen Phillips to bat it down and bring it down. You know, that's a tough deal for a defensive end, as talented as he is. But plays were out there to be made, and guys did enough to win the game. But I think we can make some more plays, and they will because they're that good. They're in position to make the plays, and that's the bottom line when we talk about it. When they look at film, they're going to look at what could have. In terms of defensive stops and defensive plays, and a lot of guys, they're going to be already looking. Then a lot of guys are going to the bathroom, Big Seth, when the play's coming up. You know, I got to go to the bathroom when they know that the play that they should have made is coming up on the film.
Right.
They might head to the bathroom so they don't have to hear it. I had coaches that had to pause it until you get back. Though. We'll pause it. We'll wait. But no, these guys, man, they did a great job in terms of. You know, it's a cliche, bending but not breaking today, and that's all that matters, man.
It really is what they did.
Bottom
line. And they definitely bent.
They bent a little bit.
There's a lot of bending. How about, you know, if you're just giving out almost game balls for almost plays made, how about a big, fat game ball for the South Florida humidity?
Yeah. Yes. Man. It was miserable today.
I mean, knocking guys out of the game left and right.
Dude, hey, it's our 12th man.
Yeah.
How long did you wait for the cart today, Big Seth?
I didn't wait for the cart.
You walked in?
Yeah, absolutely. Preacher and I, we hoofed. We sat there. We turned around. We surveyed the field. There was no cart coming. And we,
Red 7.
It's game day. We're playing it. That's exactly right. We're going to walk right in. Yeah.
Well, it took a minute to get there, but we did eventually got it into the stadium. I was just curious because that walk in, that was a big deterrent for me to walk up because I was like, man, it is freaking hot out here.
It was hot. I took the backpack off the back because you know, I didn't want to have that. I've seen a couple guys. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but you get up to the press box, and it looks like they walked through the sprinklers or something, man. Just soaked. I was determined not to be that dude.
I had an opportunity to do a pregame hit on the field with my buddy Brett Coleman. He has a great YouTube channel called the NFL Film Room, but I didn't do it because, one, it was kind of late in the day, and second, I was like, I don't really feel like going out there and hanging out on the field. I got the air conditioning, like Big Seth mentioned, 74 in the radio studio. So,
74.
A little bit toasty out there today. I'm going to do something right here to piss off Big Seth real quick. Oh, so you talk about the quarterbacks that we played so far. Here's what's next. Joe Burrow, Zach Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Justin Fields, Jacoby Brissett, Davis Mills.
I'll take them.
I like our chances in those ones.
I'll take them.
Juice is going to take them. Seth is going to go ahead and take his headset off and get out of here because he's sick of me talking about that kind of stuff. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster. has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Let's go ahead and cue up the music. We have week 3 NFL action from around the league. Let's go ahead and get to the scoreboard on Thursday night. A little bit of a snoozer, but the Browns take it 29-17 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Other final score today, the Bears are 2-1. They take out the Houston Texans 23-20. The Titans get their first victory today, 24-22 over the Las Vegas Raiders. The Indianapolis Colts win over the Kansas City Chiefs at home, 20-17. The Chiefs were 2-1. The Colts to 1-1-1. The Vikings up 28-14 over the Lions. They take that one final. The Ravens knock off the Patriots 37-26. The Bengals get a victory over the Jets in the Meadowlands 27-12. The Eagles take out the Commanders 24-8. The Panthers get their first victory of the season 22-14 over the Saints. The current scores right now, Jacksonville just went in for a touchdown to go up 23-10 on the LA Chargers. Herbert is playing in that game. The Rams are up 13-6 on the Cardinals at the halftime break. The Seahawks up 20-17 over the Falcons. They're also at halftime. And the Packers and Bucks just started the third quarter, 14 for Green Bay, 3 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, your Dolphins take out the Bills 21-19. Seth just stepped back in, which means he's going to be just in time to hear me do a segment here. He doesn't want to hear about it.
How about Vegas, though? Vegas hasn't won yet?
No, they're 0-3 after getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, how about that, man? How about the Dolphins being the only undefeated team in the AFC, right? Right now?
That's what it is. Only undefeated team in the AFC.
We got work to do. It's only 3 games, fellas. It's only 3 games. But
it's only 3 games, but I had this thought for a little bit of a segment earlier this week. And it was green light, win or lose, because the point fell either way for us. And I really fell in love with the juice for 2 reasons. Number one, it's a projection that I think has very strong logic.
Number one, it's because it's your thought, right? Is that number one?
Of course, I love the projection. I love looking ahead. This stuff is for the fans. We're not in the locker room. What we say and do doesn't matter as far as the wins and losses. But number two, as you can attest to, I knew it would absolutely piss off Seth. I wanted to get it into the show so bad.
Can I go back out?
You can. It's up to you. So last year, and the reason I'm doing it's kind of a callback as well, I got excited about a part of the schedule that I thought Miami could get fat on, and they wound up doing it. Is we all recall? Well, if you look at the schedule right now, Juice.
Travis, you're really going to do this.
Yes.
Bengals are up next. Then the Jets. Vikings at home. Steelers at home. Lions and Bears on the road, Browns at home, bye, Texans at home. Those are all games that you're going to be favored entering those games, all of them. And I'm going to pencil in a couple of, maybe one loss somewhere, maybe, if you're projecting. So we'll see about a short week in Cincinnati on Thursday night. But I'm looking at this thinking, man,
I'm sicker right now than I was in that final drive after the butt safety or whatever it was called.
How many interruptions do you think was the over-under here on this segment?
Three.
We're
you shouldn't
there.
Have waited until I came
Uh-oh.
Back.
I think we got it. I think
there's,
we're
there's
right there.
There's three right there. So going out to California for the Niners and Chargers, I mean, with a victory today, 9-2,
dude, look,
10-1.
Look, let's really talk about what you're talking about right here. They talked about this, that part of the schedule you're talking about, Travis, is the ones where we get our wins in, right? Everybody, I've heard so many people say, you know, 0-4, 1-3, 2-2, you know what I mean? And look at us. We're sitting at 3-0. Big game on Thursday night. I think the more we've played this year, the more excited we can get about that Thursday night game. Because, look, you're looking at Thursday night defending AFC champs on the road. So that's a big time game right there. But I think that right now, the way we're feeling about ourselves, and it's just us, we can say whatever the hell we want to because, you know, we don't have to go out there and play on the field. But I think we're feeling pretty good about, you know, the way we are as a team right now. And I think that's important. We've got to obviously get some guys healthy and feeling great. But so is everybody else this time. Everybody's got some injuries this time of year. It's unfortunate for week 4 that's going to be that way. But, bro, I love what you're talking about. Because who doesn't, other than Seth, sit there and look at the schedule and it's like win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, you know what I mean? A lot of people had us pegged to be 500 or under 500 going to this game, and look at, we're guaranteed to be at least 3-1.
And that can't be good enough. We can't be good enough going into 3-0 and focusing on the Cincinnati Bengals short turnaround. We got to start counting the next 10 weeks.
We want all of them big, Seth.
I didn't say I don't want all of them. I'm just saying you got to get the next
getting 1-0. Hey, look, bro. I tweeted my high school team and You know, they lost a big one a few weeks ago, but then they've been winning ever since. And all I talk about is 1-0. We all talk about 1-0. My college team won. Look, I'm having the best weekends of anybody.
Yeah, you are.
I've been like the last three weekends, my Friday team, Saturday team, and Sunday team have been winning. That's all I care about. Friday, Saturday, Sunday football, and all my teams have been balling, man. So, yeah, we're talking about getting to 1-0 and then 2-0 and 3-0 and 4-0 and so on and so forth, Big Seth.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's what makes me happy.
I just can't.
That's what makes me happy.
I really enjoy it, if you can't tell, just because it's fun to think about what's ahead and where you might lie and where you measure up. And one of the things that I'm curious about, because this team has done so well in games that, you know, I think they were dogs last week. I think they were dogs this game as well. And then obviously week one they were home favorites. But I'm curious to see how the team responds when the expectation from the outside is that they will go in and take care of these teams. We haven't had a chance to see that yet. That's, you know, I think Seth had mentioned something about a trap game because of the injuries. And I was like, I don't know, Big Seth. It's tough to have a trap game when you're facing the best team in the NFL. But he was saying the trap games are when there's just something out there that can kind of get you maybe thinking a little bit too highly of yourself. And that's when you can wind up, you know, coming behind against a team that maybe you should beat.
Yeah, and that's an important part for your head man, your position coaches, and your leaders on the football team to make sure that you're ready and prepared. And don't look, you know, this NFL, man, it really is, truly is any given Sunday. Look, we thought that Tyreek and Waddle could have had a monster day against that secondary today, and it didn't happen. And that's because they're professionals on the other side too, and they get paid as well. And they went out there and they had a game plan to take those guys away, and had a game plan on offense to make sure that they control the rock, which is what they did. Our defense did a great job of keeping them, you know, out of the end zone as much as possible. So, I mean, there are such things as trap games, and it's on those guys, on some of those veteran guys, on the coaching staff to say, look, I don't care who's playing on the other side. They're collecting checks on the 1st and the 15th just like you are, you know. And if you've got a good organization and a program like we do, their backups should be just a step away from being starters. And that's, I think, the same way they did it, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It's like no matter what, man, these guys have to step out there and have to play the game, and that's exactly what Buffalo did. Buffalo did their game plan to perfection, in my opinion, and we were still able to overcome and get a win today because they wanted to control the rock. You didn't. How many shots down the field did you see Josh Allen take? What you've seen every other game he takes, a million of them.
Yeah.
It was dink and dunk, run the ball, control it, keep our defense on the field, not leave their vulnerable defense on the field, you know, and that was great for them. Look, our defense, if our offense would have had the ball more, imagine how much they would have ran the shoelaces, the tongues out of the shoes of all the guys in the secondary for the Buffalo Bills. But the fact that they controlled the ball the whole time, our guys didn't even get a chance to get going. Our track stars are still in the starting blocks right now because they didn't get a chance to run like we're used to seeing them run. So great game plan because that's a professional team over there. So both teams did what they're supposed to do. We're the ones that came out with the dub, and that's pretty much all that matters.
Yeah, 39 snaps and 21 points, was it, for the Dolphins? You're scoring. Yeah. That's a pretty good efficiency metric there. You obviously want to have the football more. And some of that is on the offense for having a couple drives that didn't get going before they really, you know, they stalled out after three or four plays for this Dolphins offense. But, again, at the end of the day, it's a victory, and we have one segment to go here. We'll go ahead and tell you guys what's coming up on the podcast network as well as preview the Bengals game there a little bit. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Motor, to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network where Dolphins fans live.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com Dolphins. Let's go ahead and cue up the music. We have week three NFL action from around the league. Let's go ahead and get to the scoreboard on Thursday night. A little bit of a snoozer, but the Browns take it 29-17 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Other final score today, the Bears are 2-1. They take out the Houston Texans 23-20. The Titans get their first victory today, 24-22 over the Las Vegas Raiders. The Indianapolis Colts win over the Kansas City Chiefs at home, 20-17. The Chiefs were 2-1. The Colts to 1-1-1. The Vikings up 28-14 over the Lions. They take that one final. The Ravens knock off the Patriots 37-26. The Bengals get a victory over the Jets in the Meadowlands 27-12. The Eagles take out the Commanders 24-8. The Panthers get their first victory of the season 22-14 over the Saints. The current scores right now, Jacksonville just went in for a touchdown to go up 23-10 on the LA Chargers. Herbert is playing in that game. The Rams are up 13-6 on the Cardinals at the halftime break. The Seahawks up 20-17 over the Falcons. They're also at halftime. And the Packers and Bucks just started the third quarter, 14 for Green Bay, 3 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, your Dolphins take out the Bills 21-19. Seth just stepped back in, which means he's going to be just in time to hear me do a segment here. He doesn't want to hear about it.
How about Vegas, yeah, though? Vegas hasn't won yet?
No, they're 0-3 after getting the playoffs last year.
Yeah, how about that, man? How about the Dolphins being the only undefeated team in the AFC right now?
That's what it is, only undefeated team in the AFC.
All right, well, we've got work to do. It's only three games, fellas. It's only three games. But
it's only three games, but I had this thought for a little bit of a segment earlier this week.
Please tell me you're not
going to do this. And it was green light, win or lose, because the point fell either way for us. And I really fell in love with it, Juice, for two reasons. Number one, it's a projection that I think has very strong logic.
Number one, it's because it's your thought, right? Is that number one?
Of course, I love the projection. I love looking ahead. This stuff is for the fans. It's not. We're not in the locker room. What we say and do doesn't matter as far as the wins and losses. But number two, as you can attest to, I knew it would absolutely piss off Seth. I wanted to get it into the show so bad.
Can I go back out?
You can. It's up to you.
Big Seth.
So last year, and the reason I'm doing it's kind of a callback as well, I got excited about a part of the schedule that I thought Miami could get fat on, and they wound up doing it, as we all recall. Well, if you look at the schedule right now, Juice.
Travis, you're really going to do this.
Yes.
Bengals are up next. Then the Jets. Vikings at home. Steelers at home. Lions and Bears on the road, Browns at home, bye, Texans at home. Those are all games that you're going to be favored entering those games, all of them. And I'm going to pencil in a couple of, maybe one loss somewhere, maybe, if you're projecting. So we'll see about a short week in Cincinnati on Thursday night. But I'm looking at this thinking, man,
I'm sicker right now than I was in that final drive after the butt safety or whatever it was called.
How many interruptions do you think was the over-under here on this segment?
Three.
You shouldn't have waited until I came back.
I think we're right there.
So going out to California for the Niners and Chargers, I mean, with a victory today, 9-2,
dude, look,
10-1.
Look, let's really talk about what you're talking about right here. They talked about this, that part of the schedule you're talking about, Travis, is the ones where we get our wins in, right? Everybody, I've heard so many people say, you know, 0-4, 1-3, 2-2, you know what I mean? And look at us. We're sitting at 3-0. Big game on Thursday night. I think the more we've played this year, the more excited we can get about that Thursday night game. Because, look, you're looking at Thursday night defending AFC champs on the road. So that's a big time game right there. But I think that right now, the way we're feeling about ourselves, and it's just us, we can say whatever the hell we want to because, you know, we don't have to go out there and play on the field. But I think we're feeling pretty good about, you know, the way we are as a team right now. And I think that's important. We've got to obviously get some guys healthy and feeling great. But so is everybody else this time. Everybody's got some injuries this time of year. It's unfortunate for week four that's going to be that way. But, bro, I love what you're talking about because – who doesn't, other than Seth, sit there and look at the schedule and it's like win, loss, win, 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 loss, loss, win, you know what I mean? A lot of people had us pegged to be 500 or under 500 going to this game, and look at, we're guaranteed to be at least 3-1.
And that can't be good enough. We can't be good enough going into 3-0 and focusing on the Cincinnati Bengals short turnaround. We got to start counting the next 10 weeks.
We want all of them, Big Seth.
I didn't say I don't want all of them. I'm just saying you got to get the next
getting one. And hey, look, bro. I tweeted my high school team, and, you know, they lost a big one a few weeks ago, but then they've been winning ever since, and all I talk about is 1-0. We all talk about 1-0. My college team won. Look, I'm having the best weekends of anybody.
Yeah, you are.
I've been, like, the last three weekends, My Friday team, Saturday team, and Sunday team have been winning. That's all I care about. Friday, Saturday, Sunday football, and all my teams have been balling, man. So, yeah, we're talking about getting to 1-0, and then 2-0, and 3-0, and 4-0, and so on and so forth, Big Seth.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's what makes me happy.
I just can't.
That's what makes me happy.
I really enjoy it, if you can't tell, just because it's fun to think about what's ahead and where you might lie and where you measure up. And one of the things that I'm curious about, because this team has done so well in games that, you know, I think they were dogs last week. I think they were dogs this game as well. And then obviously week one, they were home favorites. But I'm curious to see how the team responds when the expectation from the outside is that they will go in and take care of these teams. We haven't had a chance to see that yet. That's, you know, I think Seth had mentioned something about a trap game because of the injuries. And I was like, I don't know, Big Seth. It's tough to have a trap game when you're facing the best team in the NFL. But he was saying the trap games are when there's just something out there that can kind of get you maybe thinking a little bit too highly of yourself. And that's when you can wind up, you know, coming behind against a team that maybe you should beat.
Yeah, and that's an important part for your head man, your position coaches, and your leaders on the football team to make sure that you're ready and prepared and don't look. And this NFL, man, it really is, truly is any given Sunday. Look, we thought that Tyreek and Waddle could have had a monster day against that secondary today, and it didn't happen. And that's because they're professionals on the other side too, and they get paid as well. And they went out there and they had a game plan to take those guys away, and had a game plan on offense to make sure that they control the rock, which is what they did. Our defense did a great job of keeping them, you know, out of the end zone as much as possible. So, I mean, there are such things as trap games, and it's on those guys, on some of those veteran guys, on the coaching staff to say, look, I don't care who's playing on the other side. They're collecting checks on the 1st and the 15th just like you are, you know. And if you've got a good organization and a program like we do, their backups should be just a step away from being starters. And that's, I think, the same way they did it, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It's like no matter what, man, these guys have to step out there and have to play the game, and that's exactly what Buffalo did. Buffalo did their game plan to perfection, in my opinion, and we were still able to overcome and get a win today because they wanted to control the rock. You didn't. How many shots down the field did you see Josh Allen take? What you've seen every other game, he takes a million of them.
Yeah.
It was dink and dunk, run the ball, control it, keep our defense on the field, not leave their vulnerable defense on the field, you know, and that was great for them. Look, our defense, if our offense would have had the ball more, imagine how much they would have ran the shoelaces, the tongues out of the shoes of all the guys in the secondary for the Buffalo Bills. But the fact that they controlled the ball the whole time, our guys didn't even get a chance to get going. Our track stars are still in the starting blocks right now because they didn't get a chance to run like we're used to seeing them run. So great game plan because that's a professional team over there. So both teams did what they're supposed to do. We're the ones that came out with the dub, and that's pretty much all that matters.
Yeah, 39 snaps and 21 points, was it, for the Dolphins? You're scoring. Yeah. That's a pretty good efficiency metric there. You obviously want to have the football more. And some of that is on the offense for having a couple drives that didn't get going before they really, you know, they stalled out after three or four plays for this Dolphins offense. But, again, at the end of the day, it's a victory, and we have one segment to go here. We'll go ahead and tell you guys what's coming up on the podcast network as well as preview the Bengals game. They're a little bit. Dolphins post game is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you or on the Chevron app. So, guys, we have the Cincinnati Bengals on a short week on Thursday. Quick turnaround time for everybody involved, and that includes us talking about them here on the final segment of the show here. The Bengals do get their first victory of the season today with a strong first quarter, 14 points in the first quarter. They win 27-12 over the New York Jets, who fall to 1-3 or 1-2. I don't know. It's only
third
been three
week.
Games.
Third week, bro. Do the math. Care to one.
I know Burrow took 13 sacks in the first two games, just two more today, but it's kind of a matchup we're looking forward to. We were supposed to get Tua versus Burrow. Was it 2020? Didn't get that because Burrow got injured, but now we get the number one pick in the 2020 draft versus the number five pick in the 2020 draft, the first two quarterbacks off the board. I know you're looking forward to that one, Juice.
I am. I really am, man. You know, I always want to see how we stack up against the better teams. Look, Ravens, great team. Buffalo, great team. Obviously, Cincinnati going to the Super Bowl last year, another great team. So it's always good to see how we stack up and how we'll feel against, you know, those guys mano a mano, especially on the road, short week, Thursday night. It's always tougher on the road team, you know, the travel part, you know, the emotional game today. You know, you got to wonder how you bounce back. But, you know, our coaching staff already started working on, you know, Cincinnati, you know, probably a couple days ago, even though they were focused on this game, because you have to get ahead of the game a little bit because you don't have that much time to do the install. No breaks, no Tuesday off this week, you know, so guys are going to come in, but they got a long weekend. And the better, you know, you play on Thursday, the better that long weekend is going to be. So it's a big week for us, man. Honestly, getting to – we're 3-0 in the conference, 2-0 in the division. To get to 4-0 in the conference at this point is incredible. It really is, man, because you start looking a little bit ahead to the next few games. But the conference games and the division games are critical. And the fact that we start off with four conference games – it's big for us. Got to go out and get those. Those are ones that you put in your pocket for later in the season when we're looking at some of these tiebreakers and these scenarios.
Especially when you can go up against teams like you mentioned that should be in the mix at the end of the season, and you get those potential tiebreakers too. The head-to-head tiebreakers are very, very big for this Dolphins team. So 3-0, the only unbeaten in the AFC. I'll put that on test next week to the Cincinnati Bengals in their house. What a tough ask it is in the schedule makers to play a tough Buffalo Bills team here and then turn around on the road short week and go get the Bengals. But if they can do it, we'll all be very excited and have a long weekend to look at 4-0, hopefully. On the drive time schedule coming up, the recap podcast coming your way tonight, the film review on Tuesday. Different schedule this week as the game on Thursday bumps some things up. We'll do the preview show on Wednesday, recap the game on Thursday, and have the All-22 review of that, I think, on Saturday, I believe is the plan. What's coming up next here on the Fish Tank podcast, Big Seth? Rick Spielman, by the way, might have been my favorite episode you guys have ever done. I loved that one.
Yeah, it was great. Rick was a lot of fun. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I hope you do, because it was – not only was it fun, not only were there some great stories and some memories of I think that, you know, a certain age's fan base, really that – you know, those were some prime years for Dolphin fandom. But the perspective from a general manager, the perspective for somebody who spent 30-plus years in personnel, and the evaluations and the way that you look at mistakes and try and correct them and all that, I think it was really great. But, you know, so today was a birthday for someone in the Dolphins family. It was Kim Bocamper's birthday.
It was.
So we're going to celebrate Kim Bocamper's birthday all weekend through Tuesday with his second appearance in the Fish Tank. Bo came back. I don't know that there's a better storyteller in the history of this franchise than Kim Bocamper. And I went back, and when we edited this podcast, Juice, there were three different stories where I was literal tears, like crying, because it was so damn funny. Bo
was so funny, he couldn't even sit still during the recording.
He needed a wire. He needed a wireless microphone.
He did need a wireless. Yeah. He was so animated, man. It was great, it was man. He really brought it like usual.
He definitely lob him up.
Yeah,
they posted the I don't know what station it was, posted the scene with him and Ace Ventura today, wishing him happy birthday.
Well, so CBS4 WFOR, Bo's a longtime broadcaster there. He was with Mike Cugno pregame, and you know, and then of course they do the postgame, and so they celebrated Bo's birthday as well, and in the shower.
What better way to do it?
No, better ways. There are definitely better ways. How the hell you talk about, Travis?
I don't know, man. We got 3 minutes to fill here. I'm trying to get by real quick. But you guys got any final thoughts here as we get out of here? We got a couple of minutes left here before we sign off and head out and eat the rest of our pizzas.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, Travis, it's a big night for everybody to reflect and see how we could have done a lot better today. You know, honestly, we did. You know, you get out of the win, and that's all that matters in the NFL. You know, you look at college where you got to look at how you beat somebody, the amount of points you beat them by in rankings. It doesn't matter here. You can win ugly here and just get the wins and keep moving up in terms of, you know, the rankings and the standings. I think a lot of guys left some meat on the bone today, and they'll realize that, and I think they'll make some adjustments. We battled a really good team. We really battled a really good team. They were themselves offensively, and that's the most incredible part, because every team we've seen, every time we've seen them from the Thursday night game and then the last game they played, they're unstoppable in the offense. And they put up a lot of yards, but they didn't put up a lot
of
points.
They couldn't punch it in.
That's
you
exactly
talked
right.
about, you know, you normally are used to him taking those deep shots. His longest pass play was his first throw of the game.
That's right.
He threw the ball 6,000, 7,000 times. How many times did
7,001.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and his longest pass play was 28 yards, which, you know, arguably could have been ruled a fumble. That was a very strange play. Mm. But whatever. He completed the pass 28 yards. He didn't throw a deeper pass the rest of the game, or didn't complete one.
Right. Right, and that was our game plan. Obviously, their game plan. We come with zero. They want to dunk, dink and dunk, and it worked for them. But we always talk about that. How many times have we talked about the longer the drive goes, the more chance you have to make a mistake? You know, you put a 20. How do you have a 20 play drive and not get in the end zone?
Those guys were crushed.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And those guys, man, you saw those linemen, and they were like, "Did we really just stay out here for 9.5 minutes?"
Yeah, that worked out great for us. It worked out great for us, right?
I told you. Normally, a 20 play drive is like that's how you just take the heart from a defense and from an opponent. I think that it took the heart out of their offensive lineman. We're subbing guys out. We're keeping guys fresh because we got, you know, it's like a hockey line change. Yeah. And those same five fat guys are just like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Here's my perspective, Travis, because I know you were dying to hear it. But I mean, look, this team has been through a lot the last few years. And you got a brand new coach and what looks like a brand new quarterback in a lot of ways. And he's in a leadership role. He's a team captain. He went out for two plays, and you would have thought that a dark cloud came over the stadium. He means a lot. Tua means a lot to this team. You can see it out there. And guys are following their leaders. They're 3-0, but they're believing in each other. They're buying into what their coach has to say. And they have not played three dogs. They're not just playing a bunch of, you know, it wasn't like the schedule was, well, they better win early because the schedule's going to. It was the opposite. This was the gauntlet. How many times did you hear that term gauntlet? And so I just think that this team is becoming the team that Dolphin fans want it to be right before our eyes.
It's great to see 3-0, only unbeaten team in the AFC, and that's going to be our time on the post-game show. Antennas up, game on, score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn about the all-free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cefalo. Our executive producer and booth producer today was Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers were Robert Griepert, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. And Steph, the specialist. I guess
Steph!
I want to get this touchdown. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I'm Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Dolphins 21, Bills 19. Thursday night football is next for Miami. A quick turnaround in Cincinnati awaits Dolphins Bengals this Thursday night. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Benzo.